Well, could I invite you, please, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter. The book of Genesis and chapter 19. It's been a very solemn service. I certainly have been touched by the dignity of it and blessed in that act of remembrance. And we want to thank those who have taken part. And it's only right and proper that we remember the past, that we don't forget those who laid down their lives in the supreme act of love, greater love, the Lord said, hath no man than this, than a man laying down his life for his friends. And we do remember not only those who have lost their lives in two great wars, but also those in peacekeeping roles today. Some of the cream of our young people are out in various places. Parents are anxious about their safety and their health, and we should be praying for our armed forces, especially the young men and women who are presently serving in some military conflicts as well as some peacekeeping roles across the world. And we're thankful in the Western society that we have relative peace, and it's come about sadly by the ravages of war. No one likes war. War is a horrendous, a terrible thing, and no nation really wants to go to war. It's a foolish thing that a nation wants to fight. We want to maintain peace. And the Lord has given us relative peace here in the Western world. And we know that one of the signs of the second coming of Christ is that there will be wars. And there will be even rumours of wars. A nation shall rise against nation. And no doubt there will be conflict in the earth. And then it will, we believe, climax in the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So to the men and others who have taken part tonight, I have to say I was very touched and very moved by the dignity of this service, and it did encourage my own heart. Now, we are glad to see you. We want to warmly welcome you in our Saviour's name. Now, believe me, I am conscious of time. You say, well, we don't see it, but I am. I'm very conscious that time has marched on, and there is a wee watch beside me here. It seems to be fixed here so you can't move it. It seems to be, but I have my own watch as well. It doesn't seem to be working too well, but we'll see how it goes. I'm only jesting. But we're in the scriptures. We're in Genesis 19. I am extremely tired tonight. It's not because of the week of mission or the other mission we did in Portland Owen and the many, many other single meetings, but I have been driving today. I reckon when I finish and get home tonight, it'll be 5 hours on the road. And I was down in Kilkeel preaching twice, and then I returned again to Newton Ards, and then I got something to eat and went up, looked over my message and fell asleep, got a power doze, as they call it, got up, got ready, and out to Macrofeld again, and then I have to head back home to Newton Ards. So it's roughly just over 5 hours travelling, and it takes a lot out of you concentrating. I stopped on the way home at the traffic lights in Cumber. It was funny because the traffic lights in Cumber in the main street, if you get to that traffic light when it just turns red, you could be waiting maybe 2 minutes before it'll turn green again. And that allowed me just to put it out of gear and put the handbrake on. And I thought I'd close my eyes just a little. I actually fell asleep. I fell asleep and I woke up with a jolt. And I thought I was in my bed. And I thought, well, this bedroom's changed. And the light just turned at that stage green, and it was a bit of a wake-up call, and I did pray again for journeying mercies, and I would appreciate your prayers as I travel home this evening. We're in Genesis chapter 19. I want to keep with the theme of remembrance this evening. It's only appropriate when your mind is on the theme of remembrance that we come to God's Word and we take up the theme of remembrance. It's Genesis 19, and it has to do with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read in verse 15 as we interject in the chapter. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Could you just turn over to the New Testament and to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and it's just the words of Christ in reference to the very passage that we have read this evening. Luke chapter 17, and look at verse 32. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. The Lord says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And that's exactly what we want to do this evening. Remember Lot's wife. Let's bow briefly in prayer. Father, we thank thee now for the reading of Holy Scripture. We come to the preaching and hearing of thy word. And we pray that the solemnity of heaven will descend upon this congregation. And we ask that both downstairs and upstairs and those that are listening through the World Wide Web, it'll please thee to solemnize every heart. We pray that the fear of the Lord will descend upon this gathering of individuals. And we pray personally and yet, Lord, collectively, for the presence of God to be felt. We pray for an intensified sense now of the divine presence for the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. To this end, Almighty God, I stand publicly before thee in this congregation as a candidate for the infilling of the Spirit of the living God. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst come now and grant to me cleansing through the blood from my own sin. And give to me now that anointing, that enduement of power from on high. And loving Father, I pray that thou wouldst fill me with thy Spirit, with wisdom and with power. Glorify thy Son in the salvation of the lost, the restoration of the backslider, the reviving of the church. And Father, in answer now to prayer, glorify thy dear Son. And the people of God said, Amen. This warning from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, remember Lot's wife. It must rank among, I believe, the most solemn admonitions in all of Holy Scripture. Remember Lot's wife. Don't forget what happened to this graceless, godless, lost, languishing, lonely soul that is now in the pit of hell. Remember Lot's wife. He singles out this important part of history and the biblical record. Lot and his wife and two daughters fleeing from the wicked city of Sodom because it was about to be judged, because the Bible says their cup was full and the wickedness of Sodom had reached up to heaven. It was a stench in the nostrils of God. And he warned Lot and his wife and two daughters, escape for thy life, flee to the mountain, lest thou be consumed in the judgment of Sodom. The Lord's command was straightforward, wasn't it? You couldn't have mistaken what the Lord was asking Lot and his wife and two daughters to do. Escape for thy life. Get to the mountain, the place of safety, lest you be consumed in the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his preaching holds now up as an example to all generations. And cries to an unbelieving world, remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to this woman who refused to leave the city of destruction, who refused to flee for her life to the very mountain of safety, and she was judged instantly. And the Lord lifts her up now as an example to all who refuse to turn from their sin and receive Christ as their Savior and escape for their life and prepare themselves for the great day of judgment. Remember Lot's wife. You know, friends, it is a solemn warning when we consider the subject that was on the Lord's mind in Luke 17. He takes this historical true account of the judgment upon Lot's wife, and he has it in the context of the last of the last days. Because in Luke 17, the last days were on the mind of Christ. He was actually preaching about end times, about the final harvest, and the last judgment of the nations at his return. And on his mind in Luke 17, he began to outline how suddenly the Lord would come and he would find most in this world unprepared, in a state of unreadiness at the appearing of Christ. If you notice in Luke 17, for instance, that he speaks in verse 24 of the suddenness of his appearing. Notice what it says in verse 24, "For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under the heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." Just as a flash of lightning, you and I wouldn't even be able to trace with a human eye how quickly lightning flies from one part of heaven to the other. And the Lord reminds us that that's how quickly the Lord will return. In the blink of an eye, in a single moment of time, you couldn't measure the millisecond when lightning strikes across the very canopy of heaven, across the horizon from one part to the next. You couldn't measure it. You couldn't follow it with the human eye. All you see is the end of it. And the Lord says, in the light of that, remember Lot's wife, how suddenly she met with judgment. And he uses it in the context of preaching on the last days or the second coming of Christ. You need to be ready. He will come suddenly. It'll not be, as you think, a process. There'll not be this sign and that sign, although there will be signs to tell us that he's about to come. But we don't know the hour. We don't know the moment. We don't know the time. We can't say, as some foolishly do, that in 2023 the Lord will return. We can't say that. What if he returned tonight? Suddenly you're cut off. And remember Lot's wife, she was not ready, and judgment came so quickly. And remember this, he not only speaks of the flash of lightning, which reminds us of the suddenness of his appearing, but he also speaks about the flood of Noah. Notice what it says in verse 26. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." That is, they were eating, they were drinking, they were building, they were planning, they were doing everything, and they mocked Noah, a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, God waited in the days of Noah. And every time he nailed a piece of timber into the ark, every time he took some pitch and then he plastered the ark to make it waterproof, every time he planed a bit of timber to get it into the ark, every time for 120 years he was in building the ark, and all those years God was warning. Judgment was coming. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached judgment and he preached that you need to be ready. And the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, when they're not thinking of God and they're not thinking of eternity or their soul or heaven or hell, so shall be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And in the light of that, he says, now remember, Lot's wife, don't forget what happened to her. Judgment came suddenly. And even though she was warned, yet it came and she wasn't prepared or ready to meet God. And furthermore, in the verses 28 and 30, and we have that, we've already read it. "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drink, they bought and sold, they planted and builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And the Bible says, in the light of that, you're to remember Lot's wife. It's solemn, a warning when we consider that the last days were on the mind of the Lord. And he was speaking about individuals who are not ready to meet the Lord. Now tell me, where do you stand with God tonight? Are you ready to meet the Lord? What if, now what if he came tonight? What if, I said it before in the mission, what if the Lord interrupted this meeting? I never stopped it. I never got to the final prayer. I never got to finish my message tonight. You never got out of this building tonight. You never got home tonight. What if the Lord returned this evening? Where would your soul be? Heaven or hell? These are solemn matters. Remember Lot's wife, the Lord said. We've had an act of remembrance today. We've remembered the gallantry of men and women and the mighty sacrifice. And here's the Lord lifting up someone who's a lost soul, who's now in eternity and is now in hell, languishing, lonely, and lost. And the Lord lifts this woman up and he says, you remember what happened to Lot's wife. And every time you remain in an ungrace state, refusing to become a Christian and to take that step of faith in repentance and receive Christ into your heart as your Savior, you're aggravating the wrath of God and you're further aggravating your own doom. And the Lord says, listen to it, remember Lot's wife. And all of your remembrance today, sinner, remember Lot's wife. It's solemn because of the one he mentions. He doesn't mention Abraham. Of course we want to remember Abraham, the father of the faithful. He does not mention Isaac or Jacob, the patriarchs. He does not even mention Sarah and all those great women of Scripture, Ruth and Hannah and Deborah. He does not even tell us to remember any others like David or anything like that. The Lord lifts up a woman who met God in judgment. And he holds her up as an example and as a warning to mankind. And he says, you remember what happened to this woman. She was not ready to meet the Lord. And in the face of solemn judgment, she remained in her sin, obstinate, proud, stubborn, and unwilling to repent. And God exacted judgment instantly upon that woman. And he says, you don't forget. You remember Lot's wife. It's solemn when we consider the word that the Lord used. Remember. You don't forget this. She is now an example to the world of what happens to those who rebel against God, those who fail to obey the commands of God, those who love the pleasures of Sodom and the pleasures of the world, whose heart lies not with Christ and with God, but with the world and sin. And he says, remember. Remember this woman who made no preparation, who refused to flee to the mountain. And the mountain, we believe spiritually, is Moriah, Mount Calvary. Escape for thy life, sinner. Flee to the cross, to Mount Calvary. That's the place of safety from the judgment of Almighty God. Here's a woman who was not prepared for the judgment that was to come. And when the Lord returns, I'm not getting into any arguments, when the Lord returns, judgment will fall upon the nations. And if you're not ready then, or if death comes, if you're not prepared then, the Lord says, remember what happened to Lot's wife, lest the same thing come upon you. It's a gracious warning. It serves, does it not, to put the fear of God into us all, that we might search our hearts tonight, that we might know where we stand with God right now, and to know that if we die now, we'll be with Christ in heaven, or if the Lord was to return, then we would be for all eternity with him. Remember Lot's wife. That's exactly what I want to do tonight. I want you to remember, first of all, the privileges that she enjoyed. You remember, that's what the Lord says. Remember Lot's wife. We can't remember her without thinking of the great privileges that this woman enjoyed. Can I say to you that in the days of Abraham and in the days of Lot, there was no knowledge throughout the earth of the true and the living God? The nations were heathen, they were pagan, and they were without the knowledge of God. The truth resided in a family, Abraham. It was passed on from generation to generation. And I want to tell you something, that only a select few in this created earth had the knowledge of the true and the living God and how to approach the Lord on the ground of sacrifice, blood sacrifice. The nations were condemned to hell in their sin in Adam. There were no Bibles in Sodom. I want to tell you, there were no ministers in Sodom. There were no evangelists in Gomorrah. No gospel tracts given out in the cities of the plain. There were no missionaries. No printed word. No gospel preached. No gospel campaigns in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. But I want to tell you something. There were at least four people in that city, and maybe a few more, who had the knowledge of the true and the living God. One of them was Abraham's relation called Lot. His wife, daughters, and sons-in-law. The majority of the earth's population were in ignorance and darkness and superstition. But Abraham knew the way of approach to a holy God. How you can be right with God through faith alone in Christ alone. Abraham had learned the way of sacrifice on Mount Moriah when he was to offer his son and the ram was sacrificed in his son's place. It was a type of Christ. He passed the knowledge on to his family members. And when Lot went into Sodom, he brought with him the knowledge of the true and the living God. And his wife shared in that knowledge. And she knew there was a God in heaven and that he was the true and the living God. She knew how to approach him on the ground of sacrifice and how to be accepted with him by faith, which will be accounted as it was to Abraham. For righteousness. I want to tell you, she had a saved husband. She had Abraham, the father of the faithful, as a family member, and she would have known the word of God through Abraham. She was even warned. No one else in Sodom was warned. She was warned by the angels and by the Lord himself to flee from the city of Sodom. Abraham even prayed to God for her. You should check scripture, and if my mouth is right, and it's generally not, you'll discover when he went from so many souls right down to about 10 souls, will you spare the city for 10? You will discover that there were at least about 8 or 10 of his relations in Sodom, and that's who he was actually praying for. Lot's wife had people praying for her, that God would spare her life and save her soul. Can I say something to you? She was literally taken by the hand and dragged out of Sodom, but her heart remained there. And she looked back and disobeyed God, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And God exacted eternal judgment upon Lot's wife. I want to tell you, sinner, that you are more privileged than anyone else in this world. The 15th of November this year, that's Tuesday. The 15th of November this year, on Tuesday, the earth's population will be the largest it's ever been since God created this earth. It will reach a staggering figure of over 8 billion people. That will happen, predicted to happen on Tuesday, 2 days. The earth's population will be the biggest it's ever been since God ever created it. It tells me two things. One, we need to evangelize like never before. And two, there are people among the 8 billion on this earth, and you're the most privileged individuals in God's created earth. Because you have heard the gospel more than once. You have been told that you're a sinner more than once. You have been told that you cannot save yourself more than once. You have been shown the cross of Calvary, where Christ suffered and bled and died and rose again, where Christ shed his blood, where Christ offered himself a sacrifice for sin. You even heard it today in an act of remembrance and in the prayer that was prayed about the one great sacrifice, about the mighty offering of the body and blood of Christ. You have been warned time and time again of how to escape the judgment of hell and how you can get right with God as you repent of your sin, as you look to the cross, as you trust in Christ and receive him into your heart as your own and personal Savior. And you're the most privileged individual among the 8 billion people on this earth. And Lot's wife was exactly like you. Yet she perished. She died. Even though she enjoyed all those privileges. And the Lord lifts Lot's wife up and says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. You have more truth than she has. You have more gospel than she ever did. You have had more warnings than the 3 or so that was given to her. You have sinned worse than Lot's wife. And God has been merciful and gracious to you. How many times have you been exhorted to escape for your life and get to the mountain of safety, the cross, and escape the judgment of hell? Yet you linger in your sin. You remain obstinate and proud and stubborn and unwilling to repent and believe the gospel. Why? Remember Lot's wife. That's what the Lord said. Look what happened to her. And you have more privileges than she did. Not only do I see this special privileges she enjoyed, but I see also the stubborn heart she exhibited. We have it in Genesis 19. I'm not sure if you have the page open, but I'll read it to you, verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You see, the sum and substance of her sin subsists, I believe, in this word, she looked back. God's express command was to escape for thy life and flee to the mountain, and don't look behind you. Don't hanker after Sodom. Don't look at your possessions and your house that's still there. Don't even look at some family members that didn't flee with you. Don't you look back at those possessions and that party spirit that's there and the lusts of the flesh that you gratified when you're in that city. Don't you dare look back. You forsake it all. You repent. You go on with God. That's what was commanded of her. And she was unwilling to leave the pleasures of sinful and wicked Sodom. Her heart lay with the inhabitants of that city and with its sin and its evil and its pleasure. And she exhibited that when she disobeyed the express command of God. And she revealed a very stubborn, unwilling heart. A heart that was so hard that even the threat of judgment didn't move her. And now she's a monument to what happens to those that are proud and will not submit to the commands of God. And we're not here to make you a Free Presbyterian. We wouldn't cross the street to make you a Free Presbyterian. I said we would go to the ends of the earth to point you to Christ, the only Savior. And it's not in the interest of this church to fill out these pews, to have chairs, to build a bigger building, because so many people are coming. If that happens, then that's the Lord's business. Our business is not to fill out pews and churches, but to populate heaven by the salvation of sinners. For no denominational tag and no collarette or sash or apron will ever take us to glory or heaven or give us peace with God. The precious blood shed on the cross of Calvary is our only hope. The Bible tells me where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How many people we have counseled at length, and they're unwilling to give up their sin. How many people we have spoken to, and they have told us, you know, I can't give up the cigarette. I can't give up the gambling. These drugs, I just love doing what I'm doing. I know it's destroying my life. I know I'm a sinner. If I die now, I'll be in hell. But I love the alcohol, I love the drink, I love the gambling, I love the nightclub, you know, I love the party spirit, I love socializing, I love all these things, and I couldn't give them up. And I want them more than what? More than the salvation of your soul. Remember Lot's wife. She hankered after her sin. She wouldn't want to leave it. And when she looked back, that look constituted a spirit whereby she was unwilling to repent and leave her sin. She wanted to go back to it. She wanted to be with her sin and not with the Lord. Now tell me, what about you this evening? Where does your heart lie? With this, your sin or the Savior? With this world or God's dear Son? Is there an unwillingness in your heart to repent? When God commands you in Acts 17 to repent. When God commands you in Acts 17 to believe. There's the commands. And what you've got to do tonight is flee to Christ and to the Mount of Calvary and look to the cross, look to the finished work, look to that sacrifice above all sacrifices, the eternal one that saves your soul. I wonder, is there in you a heart of unbelief that tells you that you're not a sinner? You don't have to flee. Judgment won't come. Lot, you can go on and take those daughters with you, but I'm going back to Sodom. I don't believe God. I don't believe there's a day of judgment. And you know, she didn't even perish in the fire of Sodom. God didn't even let her return to her sin. But he turned her into a pillar of salt, a monument to a graceless, lost soul, an example to the nations and the world. And then Christ takes that incident, and he who is the truth says, remember Lot's wife. Don't you forget what happened to her. And don't let that be your experience. That's what the Lord's saying. Remember so as you would take heed and take warning and flee to Christ. Not only do I think of the special privileges that she enjoyed, not only do I think as well of this woman who, in many ways, the stubborn heart she exhibited, but I'm thinking finally here, I know time has beaten me, I think of the solemn judgment she encountered. Listen to it. She says she looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Her judgment was inflicted in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, she was in the act of sinning. She couldn't repent. You've often heard it said, haven't you? When I'm on my deathbed, I'll get right with God. When I know the moment I'm dying, whenever that syringe driver is in, and I'm still conscious, then I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll repent. I'll believe. Or some have even said foolishly, when I see the Lord coming, and I see the sky light up, and I see dead saints rise first, then I'll get down on my knees, and I'll repent of my sin. Can I tell you something? God says, remember Lot's wife. There's no such thing as getting right with God when the Lord returns. No such thing. It happens so quickly, you wouldn't even have time. Let me tell you something. To die in any time is a tragedy. It's a real tragedy. No one wants to die. Some say, well, we're believers and we would want to die because heaven is our home. Well, that's true in a sense, but if we really examined our hearts, no one really wants to die. Have you talked to anybody who's dying? Very few, even believers. There's so many ties to this world and family members. Nobody really wants to die, but we must die. But I'll tell you this. There are some people who get warning about death and death lingers. And it's true that weeks before they die, they come to Christ. Family members of my own. My own brother Colin, a year and a half before he passed away with cancer at 57 years of age, taken out into God's eternity, realizing that he was about to die, although God spurred his life for another year and a half. He got right with God. It's one thing to get the opportunity, but can I tell you something? Now listen to me as I close. Look at me. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? She was taken out into eternity in the act of rejecting the Lord. There is no hope for a man or a woman or a young person that's taken out in the act of sin to repent. That's final judgment. That's what happened to Lot's wife. In an act of rebellion and rejection of the Lord, God judged her. And I'm not saying he'll do it to you, but the Lord lifts her up as an example, as a warning, lest it actually happens to you. I don't want it to happen. I really don't. But before this meeting is over, if someone was here and they're unsaved, and you're here and you've no desire to come to the Lord, and you can't wait to get out through those doors, and you say, I wish that preacher would stop till I get out of here. And you might even say, I'll not be back. What happened? If your head just dropped, and your eyes closed, and your lungs stopped breathing, and your heart stopped beating, in the act of rejecting the Lord, you were taken out into eternity. I'm telling you, there is no hope. There's hope for the one who's on the deathbed. There's hope when there's life there. But in the actual act of sinning, for that's what happened to Lot's wife, she was taken out into eternity. Now listen to me. I know we don't always know a person's last end, but we certainly know what happened to Lot's wife. I know people, I know them personally, and they have been taken out into eternity in the act of terrorist activity. Going out to kill other people, they have been killed. I know friends of mine, friends, personal friends of mine. I grew up with them. I went to school with them. Sadly, I drank with them and went to parties with them and house parties with them and was involved in some of the things they were involved in. Only I served time, as you know. They were gunned down in feuds between paramilitary factions. Some of them, friends of mine, I don't want to get too graphic when there's children here. The drunken stupor, they were fallen on the ground and were run over by a car. Some of my friends, I could get a school photograph and show you how many, through the curse and evils of alcohol, were taken out into God's eternity. I don't want to be graphic here. Some choked on their own vomit in the act of sinning against grace and God. And the Lord says, you remember Lot's wife tonight. You remember what happened to this woman. Don't let it happen to you. Don't experience what she experienced. But I exhort you, as I close now, and I know our time is gone, I exhort you to flee to yonder mountain, Mount Calvary. It's the best place to finish a sermon, at the cross. I exhort you to flee to that place where Christ, the Creator, became a man and died for man, the creature's sin. I now exhort you and implore you and beseech you in the name of Almighty God to flee from the judgment that's coming upon this world and to go the whole way to the cross of Calvary tonight. You don't come to a baptismal font or a confirmation or communion altar. You don't take on the rites or rituals of any church or denomination, for that matter, institution or organization. You come as a guilty sinner and flee to the cross tonight. Come to the place where God is just. He punishes sin on the body of his Son. And he's the justifier, that he pardons the guilty only on the ground of faith in what Christ has done on the cross. Come tonight to that fountain that's filled with blood, that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all, yes right, all their guilty stains. You come to Christ tonight, the only Savior. Flee to Christ. Find a refuge in him from the storm and fire of judgment, and you will find there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. That's you. There's room at the cross for you. Will you come? Will you flee to Christ tonight? Remember Lot's wife. Remember the special privileges she enjoyed, the stubborn heart she exhibited, and the solemn punishment she experienced. And don't die like her. Come to Christ tonight. Now, if you need help, we can't save you, but we can point you to one who can. If you want to speak to us about your soul, about your need to get right with God, we can open the Bible, and we will take time, very tenderly and patiently, to point you to Christ. the only saviour for sin. Escape for thy life to yonder mountain. Come to the cross. Come to Christ. And may the Spirit of God work in your heart that much needed grace of repentance and faith and bring you savingly to Christ tonight. We'll hand over to the Reverend McKee.